Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Van Jones tried to make the point when someone poo-pooed Amber Rose speaking last night that she's more famous than any of us and why she represents danger for Democrats. Here's what he said.
That was probably the most dangerous speak for the Democratic coalition. That is a young woman of color. She's describing the experience a lot of people have, feeling that maybe if you're around too many liberals, you might get criticized too much or you might not be able to speak your mind. And she spoke to it really well. And she's way more famous than any of us up here. Yeah. I'm going to tell you that. Way more famous. And so to the extent that these guys are trying to bust up our coalition, that was a bunker buster right there.
All right. Absolutely. And they're doing it. We got some big RFK Jr. news today to get to. But the choice of the vice president, a lot to like here, but I don't know what he brings you right now. What this signals to me is, as I was saying with Dawn, this signals how confident Trump is. Now, there's a report today, Dan, I don't know if you saw this on Mediaite, that, well, I wouldn't say he's your guy, but you said suburban appeal, maybe he's, you know, doesn't bother anybody. Burgum was going to be picked by Trump. I don't get it, but apparently. And Don Jr. and Eric Jr. in tow went nuts making the case. And that's when he went back to J.D. Vance. But he really picked Burgum. You know, it tells you how crazy this vice presidential
stuff
is.
You know what this is? This is a family fight here where you got a dad who likes this guy, friendly with him, Burgum. And then I think you got Don Jr. who thinks, you got a guy here in Vance who's young. He can be the future. Dad, you can't go with this Burgum guy. You got to go with my buddy Vance. You got to go with my buddy Vance. Come on.
Exactly. So we'll get to the bottom of that. Don't forget on July 30 at tickets at
cannot wait.
1210WPHT.com, and I saw a bit of a surge this morning. Not that I'm monitoring this, but...
Well, after yesterday, why not?
That Don Jr. is the kingmaker here, and it could have been Burgum. All right, so here's the Inquirer, though, is already... Now, first of all, J.D. Vance, I forgot about J.D. Vance, that he is a 4 years he served in the U.S. Marine Corps. I vaguely remembered it. He is the first person, not of rank. I forget what his final rank was, whether he's a private or not. You know, usually in our military history, we used to have a lot of people. I thought David Petraeus before the issue with the female in Afghanistan or in Iraq surfaced was going to be someone considered for the presidency. And we just don't see this anymore. Somebody of a lower rank now in the VP nominee. That's veterans' appeal. We don't see many veterans on the ticket at all. You got to go back to McCain, really. And then after that, you got to go back even more. That used to be a regular kind of thing. But here's what Don Trump Jr. said. I like 5B here, Dan, and we'll get to the report.
Oh, yeah, well,
I want to talk about the Inquirer here. It's got a big piece up attacking hillbilly elegy. Now, Dan, if I get my way, just saying we ought to suggest to them, I think I can get a movie theater, show hillbilly elegy again, and invite J.D. Vance for the Q&A afterward would be a good thing to do. But here is Don Trump Jr. making a big point about Vance and his story. And I'll tell you what the Inquirer has up today. It's the age-old debate on this stuff. Here's what Trump Jr. said.
Listen, I think he's lived the epitome of the American dream story. I think he's the guy that's capable of bringing that same success that he was able to have coming from nothing, coming from Appalachia, and succeeding at a level that no one could possibly fathom. You know, if you've read Hillbilly Elegy, I think it's one of the great books. I read it back when it first came out, before he was even sort of on board with Trump or, you know, believed that Trump could be the guy that can do that. He's just been an incredible fighter ever since he saw that it was real. And that kind of energy for the movement, for the country, for jobs, for world peace, I couldn't be happier.
I don't like the Appalachia there, Dan. I just got to say, you know, it's Appalachia. I don't know why we changed
Appalachia.
No. That fancy new name. So what's the Inquirer do? Well, they put up a big editorial today from a woman who describes herself as a hillbilly and says hillbillies don't need an elegy and the U.S. doesn't need J.D. Vance. And what does she go for right away? She accuses Vance of attacking hillbillies. She accusing Vance of saying, just pull yourself up by your bootstraps. And she says that people that are in poverty there have little or no fault in it. Well, she says mostly no fault. Well, Dan, the point I made over the years about this Appalachian, about this and what Vance writes about.
Appalachia?
Yes, Appalachia. He shows the dysfunction of it. And the reason why it's better to talk about this is race does not get brought into it. In other words, you say this about North Philly and people immediately suspect you're attacking based on race. I think fairly, J.D. Vance, the UAW president, spoke last night. We'll play you what he said about Vance. He was very complimentary. Vance isn't some cold-hearted, you know, capitalist, so to speak, attacking the poor. But he does point out in Hillbilly Elegy the pathology that's there. People doing the same things that keep you poor. Can you not make that statement? No, the Philadelphia Inquirer is saying no. It's not decisions that human beings make. Now, look, if you have a lifelong chronic disease, there's a lot of disease, something like that, that's a little bit different. That's going to be harder to overcome versus if you are caught up in this cycle, as his mother was. I mean, J.D. Vance talked last night with Hannity about the Meals on Wheels woman coming by and his grandmother who raised him negotiating to try to get a little bit more food. And yet here we go. He can't talk about American success, American dream, raising yourself up, because that's attacking the poor, in this case, white rural poverty. 855-839-1210. How else do you get out of that then? Well, they're talking the same old stuff again about structural changes, about all the rest. Now, the UAW guy, I don't agree with a lot of what he stands for. You probably don't either, but I think he's not going to endorse anybody. That's what's going to come out of this, and that's great. And there are areas where J.D. Vance and Trump agree with this guy, one of the biggest. The antagonism they have, and I have been big time, for the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. U.S. Chamber of Commerce is about illegal immigration, multinational companies. It's not about America First. They shouldn't be able to call themselves the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. Lou Dobbs used to say all the time, they just call themselves the Chamber of Commerce. They have nothing to do with America. And Trump and J.D. Vance, maybe even more, get that. Just a moment, too, to thank somebody. Rick Santorum. Maybe we should get him on the show. Rick Santorum ran for president, you may remember, came pretty close against Romney. Two-time U.S. senator here. He's the one that sat down with Trump before 2016 after we had Rick here in Philadelphia for a book club, Blue Collar Conservative. Now, J.D. Vance even favors a higher minimum wage. I'm not on that side on that, but what I'm saying is his policies are populist. Here's the, let's play that Don Trump Jr. There was this obligatory moment at the convention here where Trump is confronted by an MSNBC reporter, and I think the reporter wants to continue a trope about Trump Sr. Here's how it sounded.
What is that change going to look like, Don? What practically, your father as president, I think you would even say, was a divisive figure. What's it going to look like in the second term?
I don't think he was a divisive figure at all. I think the media created divisiveness around him. They lied about Russia collusion. They said he was a traitor. They went after him in every which way as possible. If the media actually starts being an honest broker, talking about the things that he did, the prosperity he brought, the peace deals that he signed around the world, rather than the disaster that we're living right now, I think you'd do everyone in the country a big favor.
I know immigration's important to him. I covered the family separation crisis closely. Will we continue to see policies like separating 5,000 children deliberately from their parents?
You mean the Obama administration?
You know they didn't do that, sir.
Yes, they did.
Will there be a second family separation policy?
It's MSDNC, so I expect nothing less from you clowns. Even today, even 48 hours later, you couldn't wait. You couldn't wait with your lies and with your nonsense. So just get out of here.
That was a golden oldie, though. The family separation thing, I remember that. I remember how shameful, just absolutely shameful, the U.S. bishops were. That's right. The bishop in Tucson saying we ought to excommunicado any Catholic who's part of the Border Patrol engaging in anything like this.
Hey, so can I give a fact check on that?
Sure.
No, he's completely right, Donald Trump Jr., because if we remember correctly...
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Those same cages were built and used in the Obama administration. Michelle Obama actually called him out before, saying they watch in horror as children are torn from their families and thrown into cages. It's misleading and completely distorted. Trump used facilities that were built during the Obama-Biden administration to house children at the border. They are chain-link enclosures inside border facilities where migrants were temporarily housed, separated by sex and age. At the height of the controversy over Trump's zero-tolerance policy at the border, photos circulated online of children in enclosures, generating great anger. Those photos by the Associated Press were taken in 2014, depicted some of the thousands of unaccompanied children held by President Barack Obama. This fact check coming from AP News.
Well, it's also the fact that both of them had to go by what the law was. And if they wanted to manage this legally, that's all they were allowed to do, both presidents. So, yeah, that point is well. But that was probably, and that's hard to say, the hardest thing imaginable. By the way, Fox, I was going to get into this a little bit later, but now it's being reported there were three snipers inside the building used by the shooter. Now, there's no conspiracy here. You know, I'm not even going to. Why do people? Because my line, conspiracy for some people is better than sex. They were going to conspire. Just think about the enormity of conspiring publicly like that to kill President Trump using this 20-year-old. But what it shows is, again, they didn't have the A team there, and B, they're just rank incompetency and not being on the razor's edge of what their responsibilities are. Biden was asked about this yesterday. Great interview. We'll play you some of it by Lester Holt. Did a good job with him. And again, Republicans have to keep demanding, not next week, today, they bring in this head of Homeland Security, head of the Secret Service, and all the people that were involved, put them, every single one of them, local, I don't care, bring in 100 of them. Every one of them, the American people want to hear under oath. And if they start taking the Fifth Amendment, then they should be fired. Every single one of them. All right, this is, if this is true, this is the breaking news now, three snipers in that very building while he's crawling on the roof. If you saw Trump last night, surrounded by the men that were there, every one of them looked like a linebacker. All right, they were all almost to his height, some of them taller, etc. Put out there too late. He could have been dead. But if that's true, it plays into the worst fears here of what happens in this situation, okay? We hope to talk to someone about that today. But three snipers in that building, after that building should have been. Is that why they thought the building was clear? They had three snipers in there. Why would the snipers be in there and not on the roof? There's 100 questions or more to get to the bottom of. Coming up, though, I'll tell you about Trump and this call that's been leaked with RFK Jr. and what to make of it. RFK Jr. sees he's got no path to the presidency or anything else. He's even having trouble getting on the ballots. Time is running out. I think Trump could put him in charge of something. Oh, my goodness. Not the CIA, no, but something health-related. Oh, my goodness. You can see the controversy developing here. We'll tell you about the call. Now, all this stuff with these three people inside, again, I realize it's a Republican convention. When in the world, though, are we going to see Congress or somebody in government act immediately? This is a national issue that should be acted on, not next week, not when this woman feels like coming in, but get her in there now. You know, here's a thought. Is there any law that says you have to hold it in Congress? No, there's not. If you have to, do it in Milwaukee. Now, we're not going to go to Milwaukee. Okay, well, then you're not going to be here for the hearing. It ought to be today, if these stories are verified. And there seems to be increasing verification of the snipers, at least one, now it's three, that were in that building. And again, you want to get all caught up in conspiracies, go right ahead. What? Wait a minute. So we're going to have a conspiracy with a...
Tom, there's people outside the building yelling, there's a person on the roof with a gun.
And
like, you don't hear... And they're thin steel walls. They're thin like tin walls. You
but
can
we're
hear
expected
them.
To believe X number of people are in on this, Secret Service included, to kill Trump publicly.
I don't know. Like... I think the option remains open because
this is such a failure
of security and incompetency.
Well, it is.
Like, how does this many people turn a blind eye? Why did the sniper take his eyes off the scope, look before firing the shots? Like, these are things that these guys should long be trained on. And this is such an ultimate failure that there are so many questions. Like, that video of just outside the sniper or the shooter's location, it's... You know, why did the cop just walk by and not respond? Why did the Secret Service people not...
Think
if there's three
so,
inside the building, why did they not come out of the building and look on the roof? There's 4 minutes that passed in between them calling for the police.
They're in on this, too?
I don't know. Yeah, sure.
That's ridiculous. I'm sorry. This is where we part on this. I just find it all.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, I find it all to be preposterous. No, I go with the theory. Face it. Gross incompetency up and down the line with so many of them, starting with this woman who shouldn't be in charge of the Secret Service. The B team there, you saw their reaction to this, wasn't good.
Maybe not a planned conspiracy, but I also think it is conspiratorial to think, and I think it might be true that the Biden administration gave him the worst of the worst and essentially said, here's crap security, let's allow something like this to happen. We're going to have three snipers that are so bad, they're going to sit in a room, listen to people yell, and just think, I'm going to sit here on my phone instead. Like,
preposterous also, I think, because it's going to come out ultimately. In other words, these conspiracies do come out. Paul in Maple Glen is on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Paul, afternoon to you.
Hey, Don, how are you?
Good.
I like the show. I appreciate listening. I don't know much about the three people inside the building, but to what Don said earlier about the ladder, it makes sense. I mean, he didn't bring the ladder up with them on the roof, so someone had them move the ladder. And if they found it somewhere else, that means somebody put it there. Now, who did that? Did they help them? Somebody else had to move it.
Did who help
him? Somebody else helped him.
Did who help him?
Well, how would he get on the roof and then hide the ladder?
Okay.
He can't do that.
Yeah. I don't.
That doesn't make sense.
So there's footage of all this. You realize there's a massive amount of footage from everybody there, right?
Right.
Okay. So we're going to see if there's another party involved.
Yeah. I mean, it would make sense that there is another party involved if there was a ladder involved. because
I want to. So I've been doing so much like research into the conspiracy aspect of this that the ladder seems to be stationary on the back of the building. Like it was just kind of built onto the building.
Okay. Yeah. So it's not. Now he
so
did,
it's okay, not like he so carried a ladder through the crowd, set up a ladder, then disappeared the ladder.
He did buy a ladder. Okay, so, the reports out there today, but I think there's a ladder on that roof. You know, going up to that roof too.
That yeah, that was what I came okay, to yeah. understand, but I don't. Yeah.
But Paul, do you, let me ask you, Paul. Do you really think that these people would conspire to kill Trump?
I would say 90% no. At least I would hope not. But there is that 10%.
What's the,
I don't know what
based on what?
Plain stupidity and pure hate. That they just want him out so bad. I have no idea
why. Yeah, but realize.
At this stage of the game, I'd believe almost anything. The way the world's going.
Okay, realize the numbers that would have to be involved in order to pull that off.
Oh, I know. Yep. Yeah, and without it, absolutely. Someone would be telling something.
Okay. More the reason that, again, the thing that always bothers me with government, Dan, is they just, the pace, the delay, the stoppages, et cetera, the laziness. This is a national, you can't go around without clarifying this, getting to the bottom of it. This should be opened up. I don't care what the Democrats say. Republicans do it on their own. Bring forward what evidence they can now. That's what should be done here.
And let me clarify that I'm not full bore on the realm of conspiracy for the sole sake that someone died here.
Right.
So if this was kind of planned, I don't know why there'd be a bystander that was murdered. You know,
well,
so,
the shot went off. I mean,
I want to couch what I'm saying by saying I'm not fully believing there's a whole conspiracy here, but I think the door needs to remain open for the possibility for this to be some kind of planned conspiracy.
I'm in the camp. I reject all that stuff. I really do. Unless there is some element. Look, can we not accept just gross incompetency? And you can make the point. Being stretched too thin and or not caring about Trump, sending the B team there. That's exactly the case. Now, they're sending him there so Trump gets killed. You realize the consequences of this. That's why this ought to be hashed out immediately. All right. Coming up, sorry about that. But we're going to talk with Jim Worthington, who put Trump's name from the Pennsylvania delegation, the owner of the Knack out there in Newtown. Put that into play the other day, calling him a brave man or the bravest man. We'll talk with him about that coming up. Well, let's hear a little bit of that. Yeah.
Madam Secretary, the great Commonwealth of Pennsylvania and its phenomenal delegation behind me, the birthplace of our nation and Constitution at Independence Hall, proudly cast all of its 67 votes for the bravest man in America, Donald J. Trump.
All right. Hey, by the way, speaking of conspiracies, Biden brought up again the debunked claim about Charlottesville during the Lester Holt interview. I think, you know, if I were interviewing him in a situation like that, I'm saying, I don't care the content. We're stopping right here. That's it. Nothing else goes forward. Take a pause. We're going to get this straight, and you're going to admit this has already been debunked millions of times.
It's been 3 days. They really have nothing to stand on, do they?
Well, Biden is always grabbing at stuff. He has nothing to say. There's nothing. His whole career. And he grabs on Kevlar on the deer, stuff like that, because he doesn't know what else to say. He's limited. He's stupid.
Well, usually if you're in a position as an incumbent, you would prop up your policies, but he can't talk any positivity about his policies, right?
Well, he just can't articulate stuff, though, Dan. So he has this rag bag of talking points that he says, like cannibals and his uncle, to get by. Charlottesville again. All right, Jim Worthington in the On Deck Circle. Hey, Jim, great introduction for President Trump for the nomination. So what are your thoughts today? What was it like last night? What's the thing you'd like to center on?
Well, I mean, yesterday was incredible. I mean, the fact that they, you know, at first I thought with the VP pick announcing that early, it was really, couldn't figure that out because we thought that it would be in prime time later, but it basically set up the entire day. I mean, typically you do the roll call vote on Wednesday or Thursday evening, They moved that up. And I think the whole idea was to just condense the first day into where you did, you nominated the president, you elected you nominated your VP, and then you had the president come out, and which was an unbelievable, historic. I mean, the roof blew off the building when they pictured him in the back hallway, standing to get out, you know, onto the concourse, down to the seating area we went to. The crowd erupted. Now, I had some preliminary information from the press, knowing that, you know, that he was coming, and some of the Trump team. They've got to let the press know, interesting enough, because they want them positioned with their cameras in the area that the president would be. So that's where the tip-off mm-hmm. was. But the crowd started to hear about that, and they started moving to the area where the president was going to be seated when you saw on TV. But it was just electric. It was just such an emotional time.
So, Jim, your thoughts on the pick? You can tell us if it's, a game changer, whatever you think. We hear that Burgum could have been chosen. It says something to me, Jim, about confidence. They think they're going to win because Vance, not necessarily on the surface, someone that brings you a demographic, a state, or anything else.
Well, you know, I thought the way you did too, Dom. And then the more we got into it, because I was been happy with any of the selections, even Youngkin. The three that were Rubio, Burgum, and Vance. I would have been happy with any of them. But after the announcement, I started to get some feedback from some other people, and it made a lot of sense. And what they said is the blue wall. Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania. This attacks the blue wall because you got a guy in Ohio, consider Rust Belt, next to Pennsylvania, very, very much aligns with the president in his America First agenda. And on top of that, he's younger, 39. He kind of relates to the people, but the big thing was the younger people. But the big thing was the blue wall, which I didn't think about that. You pick off, certainly you win Pennsylvania, he's going to be the president. I mean, we had Laura Trump here this morning. I got her to come to a breakfast and asked her to come, and she came. And then Speaker Johnson was here as well this morning. And it's clear the strategy is Pennsylvania plus one of the swing states. Now, they are expanding the Electoral College map so much that who the heck knows now. But so I see them saying, look, we're putting this, you know, we're putting our stake down, and we're gonna take, if not one of those, all of those. And if you get Michigan or Pennsylvania, it's lights out games that go over. So I think Vance is a good pick. I was with him about a month and a half ago at a Pennsylvania POG event, and I got to sit next to him for a good 20 minutes before he spoke to the crowd. The guy's charismatic. He's smart. His story's incredible. I think that relates to a lot of people, his underdog story of raising himself up through, I think he's a good, I think it's good. And I think you're going to see he's going to be a big advocate for the president.
Your sense of President Trump now coming that close to death, I don't think he's a guy that's going to change based on that. I'm apparently in a minority. What do you say?
Well, I will tell you this: I've been told repeatedly that he had a campaign, or he had a acceptance speech written up in advance of Saturday evening, and he's torn it up, and he is now rewritten that, or rewriting that, to be to basically be more trying to build the tent, get the tent bigger, and that he wants to be conciliatory going forward. Now, you know, you're always going to get a little bit of with Donald Trump. That's just who he is. But I think he is he's feeling very good about where he is, the winds at his back. The polling's great. He was doing well after the debate, pre Saturday night, after Saturday night. I think he feels that he needs to bring everybody in the country together, and I think he will. And I think I think he'll leave the derogatory type comments to the to the Democrats. I think I heard earlier before I got on you speaking, I think you hit it right, Dom. The Biden administration has nothing to run on if you take away all the derogatory lies they say about the president, from him being Hitler to, you know, put a bullseye on him to the threat to democracy. I don't know what they can run on and even compete
got you.
At this
Jim,
point.
Let me ask you, is there a sense, though, you are one of the ultimate, let's get it done urgency guys. Is there a sense there, though, hearing the stories today? Now, you're there at the convention, maybe not hearing as much. Now it's alleged there were three snipers inside that building where the 20-year-old was crawling on the roof and ultimately firing at President Trump. The incompetency is what I believe, rather than conspiracy, Jim. Is there any buzz there? All this gushing, good feeling and all is good, but we had Trump within a quarter of an inch, and you're a physical fitness guy, of being dead. And we're still going forward here. We're no date set, no hearings, nothing.
Well, it's funny you should say that. I think the theme for the convention and is that we want to keep it positive. We want to talk about the policies, the platform, what we stand for, and that we're united as a party, and we've never been more united than forever. And though I think behind the scenes, and Speaker Johnson touched on this morning, that there are certainly concerns, and he didn't want to dwell on it because this is a celebration of what we're going to do when he's elected, President Trump. But there is certainly angst and questions about that, and he is going to get to the bottom of it. So I think there's two parts there. They just don't want that to overshadow. They don't want this convention to be about what happened Saturday. And by the way, we're in Pennsylvania, and that delegation, I've been interviewed, I don't know how many times, very few people have brought up Saturday night to me, reporters. It's interesting.
Yeah, well, you know, the conspiracies that are out there, Jim, and the incompetency of something, and let me ask you, too, you're the ultimate. You're on the presidency. You were on the Trump physical fitness thing. You saw that on Saturday, right? And you saw some, particularly the one female. Those are not fit individuals protecting the president. A few of them, anyhow.
Well, I mean, honestly, I don't want to disparage people, but as soon as this happened and he was going off the being led off the stage, I was yelling to my wife. She came down. I said, I cannot believe that, it wasn't that she was female, but she was somebody who was 5'2" in front of the president, where you could see his face, and it just didn't make sense. You've got to be at least as tall, if not taller, to shield him. The fumbling around, and it seemed like, like you said, the fitness component for some of the female Secret Service was not up to what you'd want it to be. Again, it's a tough job, but it seems to me that, hiring people for DEI purposes, this is a prime example where that's a failure. I do know some of those Secret Service people that guard the president. They're people that I see at Mar-a-Lago. They're people I know, people I'm friendly with. And the ones he has working for him at Mar-a-Lago are just amazing people and fit and big and can handle any situation. But I was shocked. I saw the same thing you saw.
Yeah, well, you're the expert, Jim, and you live it and you look.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Biden brought up again the debunked claim about Charlottesville during the Lester Holt interview. I think, if I were interviewing him in a situation like that, I'm saying, I don't care. We're stopping right here. That's it. Nothing else goes forward. Take a pause. We're going to get this straight, and you're going to admit this has already been debunked millions of times.
It's been 3 days. They really have nothing to stand on, do they?
Well, Biden is always grabbing at stuff. He has nothing to say. There's nothing his whole career. and he grabs on Kevlar on the deer, stuff like that, because he doesn't know what else to say. He's limited. He's stupid.
Well, usually if you're in a position as an incumbent, you would prop up your policies, but he can't talk any positivity about his policies, right?
Well, he just can't articulate stuff, though, Dan. So he has this rag bag of talking points that he says, like cannibals and his uncle, to get by. Charlottesville again. All right, Jim Worthington in the On Deck Circle. Hey, Jim, great introduction for President Trump for the nomination. So what are your thoughts today? What was it like last night? What's the thing you'd like to center on?
Well, I mean, yesterday was incredible. I mean, the fact that they, you know, at first I thought with the VP pick announcing that early, it was really, couldn't figure that out because we thought that it would be in prime time later. But it basically set up the entire day. I mean, typically you do the roll call vote on Wednesday or Thursday evening. They moved that up. And I think the whole idea was to just condense the first day into where you did, you nominated the president, you elected you nominated your VP, and then you had the president come out, and which was an unbelievable, historic, I mean, the roof blew off the building. When they pictured him in the back hallway standing to get out, you know, onto the concourse, down to the seating area we went to, the crowd erupted. Now, I had some preliminary information from the press knowing that, you know, that he was coming and some of the Trump team. They've got to let the press know, interesting enough, because they want them positioned with their cameras in the area that the president would be. So that's where the tip-off was. But the crowd started to hear about that, and they started moving to the area where the president was going to be seated when you saw on TV. But it was just electric. It was just such an emotional time.
So, Jim, your thoughts on the pick? You can tell us if it's, you know, a game changer, whatever you think. We hear that Burgum could have been chosen. It says something to me, Jim, about confidence. They think they're going to win because Vance, not necessarily on the surface, someone that brings you a demographic, a state, or anything else.
Well, you know, I thought the way you did too, Dom. And then the more we got into it, because I was been happy with any of the selections, even Youngkin. You know, the three that were Rubio, Burgum, and Vance. I would have been happy with any of them, but after the announcement, I started to get some feedback from some other people, and it made a lot of sense. And what they said is the blue wall, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, this attacks the blue wall because you got a guy in Ohio, consider Rust Belt, next to Pennsylvania, very, very much aligns with the president in his America First agenda. And on top of that, he's younger, 39. He kind of relates to the people. But the big thing was the younger people. The big thing was the blue wall, which I didn't think about that. You pick off, certainly, you win Pennsylvania, he's going to be the president. I mean, we had Laura Trump here this morning. I got her to come to a breakfast and asked her to come, and she came. And then Speaker Johnson was here as well this morning. And it's clear the strategy is Pennsylvania plus one of the swing states. Now, they are expanding the electoral college map so much that who the heck knows now. But so I see them saying, look, we're putting this, you know, we're putting our stake down, and we're gonna take, if not one of those, all of those. And if you get Michigan or Pennsylvania, it's lights out games that go over. So I think Vance is a good pick. I was with him about a month and a half ago at a Pennsylvania POG event, and I got to sit next to him for a good 20 minutes before he spoke to the crowd. The guy's charismatic. He's smart. His story's incredible. I think that relates to a lot of people, his underdog story of raising himself up through, you know, I think he's a good, I think it's good. And I think you're going to see he's going to be a big advocate for the president.
Your sense of President Trump now coming that close to death, I don't think he's a guy that's going to change based on that. I'm apparently in a minority. What do you say?
Well, I will tell you this. I've been told repeatedly that he had a campaign or he had a acceptance speech written up in advance of Saturday evening, and he's torn it up, and he is now has rewritten that or rewriting that to be to basically be more trying to build the tent, get the tent bigger, and that he wants to be conciliatory going forward. Now, you know, you're always going to get a little bit of with Donald Trump. That's just who he is. But I think he is he's feeling very good about where he is. The wind's at his back. You know, the polling's great. He was doing well after the debate, pre-Saturday night, after Saturday night. I think he feels that he needs to bring everybody in the country together, and I think he will. And I think he'll leave the derogatory type comments to the Democrats. I think I heard earlier before I got on you speaking, I think you hit it right, Dom. The Biden administration has nothing to run on if you take away all the derogatory lies they say about the president, from him being Hitler to, you know, put a bullseye on him, to the threat to democracy. I don't know what they can run on and even compete at this point.
Jim, let me ask you, is there a sense, though, you are one of the ultimate, let's get it done, urgency guys. Is there a sense there, though, hearing the stories a day? Now, you're there at the convention, maybe not hearing as much. Now it's alleged there were three snipers inside that building where the 20-year-old was crawling on the roof and ultimately firing at President Trump. The incompetency is what I believe, rather than conspiracy, Jim. Is there any buzz there? All this gushing, good feeling and all is good, but we had Trump within a quarter of an inch, and you're a physical fitness guy, of being dead. And we're still going forward here. We're no date set, no hearings, nothing.
Well, it's funny you should say that. I think the theme for the convention and is that we want to keep it positive. We want to talk about the policies, the platform, what we stand for, and that we're united as a party, and we've never been more united than forever. And though I think behind the scenes, and Speaker Johnson touched on this morning, that there are certainly concerns, and he didn't want to dwell on it because this is a celebration of what we're going to do when he's elected, President Trump. But there are certainly angst and questions about that, and he is going to get to the bottom of it. So I think there's two parts there. They just don't want that to overshadow. They don't want this convention to be about what happened Saturday. And by the way, we're in Pennsylvania, and that delegation, I've been interviewed, I don't know how many times, very few people have brought up Saturday night to me, reporters. It's interesting.
Yeah, well, you know, the conspiracies that are out there, Jim, and the incompetency of something, and let me ask you, too, you're the ultimate. You're on the president's, you were on the Trump physical fitness thing. You saw that on Saturday, right? And you saw some, particularly the one female. Those are not fit individuals protecting the president. A few of them, anyhow.
Well, I mean, honestly, I don't want to disparage people, but as soon as this happened and he was going off the being led off the stage, I was yelling to my wife. She came down. I said, I cannot believe that it wasn't that she was female, but she was somebody who was 5'2" in front of the president, where you could see his face, and it just didn't make sense. You know, you've got to be at least as tall, if not taller, to shield him. The fumbling around, and it seemed like like you said, the fitness component for some of the female Secret Service was not up to what you'd want it to be. You know, again, it's a tough job, but it seems to me that, you know, hiring people for DEI purposes, this is a prime example where that's a failure. I do know some of those Secret Service people that guard the president. They're people that I see at Mar-a-Lago. They're people I know, people I'm friendly with. And the ones he has working for him at Mar-a-Lago are just amazing people and fit and big and can handle any situation. But I was shocked. I saw the same thing you saw.
Yeah, well, you're the expert, Jim, and you live it and you look it. So, Jim, please stay in touch during this. Anything that comes up you want to talk about. Congratulations on being the chairman, too.
Yeah, it's quite an honor, and I appreciate you taking the time today, John. I always appreciate being on.
Jim Worthington here on Talk Radio 1210. All right, 855-839-1210. A verdict has been reached in the Menendez case, and this could be important because I think you have it, Dan?
No, I'm still waiting for the presentation of the verdict here.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll give you that verdict because if he's guilty, does he still continue on and run as an independent? Of course, if he's not guilty, he'll run as an independent. Could be a very close race if Menendez is in it. I know that's weird to wish a guy that's involved with the money and the suits and the cold bars and the wife. God.
The opera singing.
Yeah, well, I hope he's guilty, but I hope he stays in the race. I mean, it's clear cut what went on here, but I want him to stay in the race. It's a real chance.
It does look after the verdict that there are microphones and all set up outside the courthouse for a press conference. So if you want, we can take some of that when that happens.
All right. We'll give you that. More coming up, too, from the convention with Dom and Dan on Talk Radio 1210.
Dom Giordano, weekdays noon till 3 from Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.